Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are positively at the new Lexington Market and Fadley Seafood. We're here courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Pac-Man scratch-offs giveaway. We'll be giving these away here each, about every other Friday here at Fadley's. We're going to have a whole bunch more Crab Cake Tour stops. This guy here has been to several places with us on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. He's run for several different offices. We're in a mayoral campaign here. We had former mayor, Madam Mayor, Sheila Dixon here 2 weeks ago. We have invitations out to Bob Wallace as well as the current mayor, Brandon Scott, who I saw on opening day. Tharu Vignaraja, our returning champion of the tennis circuit, the law circuit. Always good to see you, brother. How
good
are you, man?
See you, brother.
All right,
thanks
well,
for having
you're running again. A couple weeks out. First things first, people do know who you are, not to spell at least your first name, not your last name, but give everybody the terms of engagement on voting this time around, because first things first, you know, we know when the election is, but this thing, window starts to open up next week, really.
Yeah, look,
right? We're here.
There's people that have already cast their ballot. A lot of mail-in ballots got sent out a couple weeks ago. I ran into a couple folks today that said, I already mailed in my ballot, cast my ballot for you. So voting has already started. Early voting will officially kick off on Thursday. It'll run a week, and then the election is 2 weeks from Tuesday, May 14th.
Man, we're at the end of the track here, yeah. Right?
And the amazing thing in my mind, having done this a few times, is realizing that as hard as we work for as many months as we do, for as much as we talk about it and we think everybody else is talking about it,
They're not.
They are focused on
That's why I begin the whole thing not with vote for me, vote for me. Yeah. Obviously, you're here and you want people to vote for you and you have your issues and we'll get to all that. But number one thing is don't forget to do it.
That's
you know, like literally.
And especially these primaries, you think that the big election is Donald Trump versus Joe Biden in November. There is an election that is going to affect the future of this city for the next 10 years.
And the city has to turn out for this.
It has to turn around. It is a vital election, and that's one of the reasons why in these last few weeks, forgive me in advance, you're already watching commercials about Tharu Vignaraja. You're already hearing me say that we can do better than corruption and incompetence, because this contrast we've been trying to draw from the very beginning about trying to go in a different direction, we know there's an appetite for it. But people have to learn, people have to understand that the only options out there are not the options we always had. And it's hard to break in, I know that, but we are running a race that I'm so proud of. First campaign in Baltimore history using public financing.
Yeah, let's go through that, because I've had a couple of candidates. I had Shannon Sneed last week running for city council. I talked to Zach Blanchard, who's running against Eric Costello, my old district down in South Baltimore. Explain this to me to some degree, because, I mean, 4 years ago, no secret, I was going to run as an independent in the summer, and the race that you and all of you were in, we talked next door, that, you know, if there was an eventuality of a path to victory in regard to Sheila 4 years ago, I'm as fascinated the path to victory for you, as well as the fact that you've done it unsuccessfully. So Sheila, by the way, that what you learn along the way, I would feel like you're getting to be a better candidate. You feel like it feels like your campaign for the people that have voted for you and you failed, probably still with you, that you're still growing what you built a couple years ago. Like I've done in radio for 40 years, yeah. Right? You build every year,
yeah,
right?
That's exactly right. I mean, look, there's two parts to remember. One is the last time a person became the mayor of Baltimore not having held elected office was 1945. But I went back and looked. Every single person who ran from the outside, they lost, and they never ran again. You know some of the names. Mary Miller, Elizabeth Embry, T.J. Smith, David Warnock.
Peter Angelos.
All terrific people.
He ran for mayor.
I didn't know that. Is that right?
He ran for mayor twice unsuccessfully in the 60s. Yes.
And by the way, those are folks that we're talking about self-funders, right? You got a David Warnock. You got a Mary Miller. But even them, you got to run more than once to build up name recognition for people to get to know not just who you are and how to say your name, but what you're about, what you're fighting for, what your causes are, how you tick. That is something that I'm so proud. I think just walking through the market, having people come up and say, keep up the good work.
Right.
They already know we're doing the work. And now they want to see us do it at a bigger scale, at a wider angle. The other piece of it that we have to bear in mind is public financing. It's not easy. It requires you to build momentum with small donations. The most you can get is $150. I always joke.
So that is your pledge, is that you're not going to the usual suspects who built the city to get $10,000 and $20,000 checks.
Correct.
They inevitably wind up going to Channel 13 or Channel 11 anyway, or whatever.
That's right.
Like, that money doesn't go to my media, not to local media. It goes to out-of-town corporate media. But, like, the people that really drink in the money are media organizations.
And what happens is, and look, the reality is that one of the reasons for that is in a city where a lot of folks are not paying attention until the last 3 or 4 weeks, the only way to get to large markets of people quickly is through television. It's still
right,
television
sure.
is king. So in the prior model, and we were successful, we raised over $1 million 4 years ago, but we raised it by asking people that could write $6,000 checks. Now we have adopted a system where we cannot take more than $150, no money from PACs or corporations or your companies. It has to come from
individual
donors.
Now, what do you get from that? What do you get for giving up the chance to raise $1 million? What do you get?
Oh, we're going to still raise $1 million, but we're going to do it in small donations because every $25 donation gets matched and becomes $250. Every $75 donation becomes $550. Every $150 donation becomes $775. And we now have almost 1,000 donations from Baltimore City residents. That's an incredible feat. There's a candidate, a major candidate, that has less than 30 individual city donors. That's the difference. Where do you spend your time? Who are you building the strength off of? It feels so good to be able to talk to people at Lexington Market and say, if you pitch in 10 bucks, 25 bucks, that's a $100 or $250 donation. It feels so good to be at meet and greets and say, listen, the most I can ask is for you to take me out to a nice dinner. $150 and you have maxed out your donation, but you've invested in a system that is meant to take the corrosive influence of money out of politics.
Dhruv Vigneraj is our guest. He's running for mayor. All right, so, look, I've done hours with him. You can go back and get all the history and the education and the schooling and the heart, all that stuff. Running again this time, the decision to do it differently, and I don't want to talk so much about campaign financing, but it is sort of at the heart of, we can talk about crime and all the other things here, but how people get elected was one of the issues that made me want to run. It made me do Baltimore. It's the reason I'm sitting here is I started to think, like, we need a better system when Kathy Pugh's going to prison. And, you know, and it, no secret, I've told Sheila I wouldn't vote for her. I'll give her equal time. And I always like Sheila when I spend time with her. I think she knows what's going on. I see the appeal of all of that. But to your point, you've always wanted a fresh day here from the beginning, from the time I met you 10 years ago.
That's exactly right. And if I thought the prior system was working, if I thought the policies that these traditional politicians had used were working, I wouldn't run, because I want to go into something that isn't working and fix it. That's what makes me tick. That is my raison d'etre. That's my calling. And you'll notice that I have put my head in the buzzsaw over and over again because I love this city. I know what this city can be. But if you use the same methods and you use the same policies and you turn on the same politicians, rely on the same politicians, you're going to get the same results. This is the only city in America that has lost a quarter of its population in the last 25 years. 25% of our population.
I'm one of those people because I left the city 2 years ago.
And it's hard to argue with the people that are leaving because they say, why do you expect me to pay twice as much in taxes for some of the worst schools in the region, the highest crime rate in America?
Well, the hardest part for me is I didn't leave under any I love that. I'm sitting in the city right now. I'm in the city 3 days a week. Somebody gives me a ticket, gives me my press pass back, I'll go to the ballpark tonight. For me, I bought a condo for $429,000 in 2006 and sold it in 2022 for $380,000. I held it 20 years. I lost $60,000 straight up plus the $250,000 I put into it. Like, it wasn't easy to leave. It's like cut your losses or this or that. For me, it was about fresh air. It wasn't about I wanted to leave the city. So I make that very, very clear. But there is a cost of doing it and a cost to my future for me and my wife that if we had bought a $400,000 house in Bel Air in 2006, it'd be worth $650 now, right? So there is that. That's the reality of investing in it, that it needs to be made better in order to be investable.
And here's the challenge, which is people like you and I who love Baltimore, we know what it can be, but we also don't pretend like it's something that it's not. Right now, it is a losing proposition for people that have the option to move to Baltimore County or Howard County. They get to pay less in taxes for better schools and dramatically lower crime. It is very hard to say stick around and wrestle with the challenges of a city government that can't fill potholes or get graffiti off the streets.
And pick up the trash. The trash is
pick
the
up
issue.
The trash. Yeah. Certainly can't get carjackers and killers off the streets. They can do that in Baltimore County. They can do that in Howard County. Your tax dollars are going farther. So why am I running? I'm running because I know those things can be changed, but it requires fresh leadership. It requires a fresh set of ideas. And we know how hard it's going to be. But when we entered, what is different about this race? Number one, I learned the hard way 4 years ago that if there are 22 candidates, six major candidates, three of them in the change lane, TJ Smith, Mary Miller, and Tharu Vignaraja, all of us, I'm proud to say TJ and Mary, they had a lot to offer the city. But the three of us were in that change lane. That added up to almost 40%, certainly more than Sheila and Brandon. But we got chopped up. So now you go.
That's why I didn't get into the primary. No way to win the primary. It was really hard.
So you need a race where you are going toe-to-toe, right? You're going up against someone where you're not splitting that change vote. The second thing is we could not win a race if, as an outsider, we're going to invite and draw major well-financed negative attack campaigns. We had to endure them in the mayor's race 4 years ago. Mary Miller's PAC came in. Remember the PAC that said, we're only going to pursue white votes for Mary and we're going to attack the Tharu Vignaraja? Well, they attacked us. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. 2 years ago, another negative attack campaign on television, you know, excoriating us. It's hard for a guy on the outside. We don't have any armor, right? So those negative ad campaigns, they cut through us like razor wire. So I needed to get into a race where we had the resources quickly to spread the word and where the other two candidates were going to spend all their time attacking one another. That's what Sheila and Brandon have done. Sheila's pack is attacking Brandon. Brandon is now attacking Sheila. That is exactly the traditional model of politics. To break it, you got to come in and kind of ambush them. We've raised $800,000. We are able to be on television for a solid 4 weeks. We've raised more money in the last 3 months than Sheila and Brandon combined. And we did it with small donations. I'm so proud of that. Big article in the Baltimore.
I've had several friends of mine are supporting you. I mean, people on the inside, throughout the city, they've reached me. They were upset when Sheila was here. We got to get Tharu. And I'm like, Tharu's on my phone. I've texted him 10 times. At some point, you ass-styled me about 2 weeks ago. I looked down and you were calling me. I'm like, he don't need me, you know. But literally, your name popped up. So I'm glad you're here.
And I'm sorry it took a minute to get organized. Tharu,
well, you're
juggling a lot.
Listen, man, we're down here. We're at Fadley's. We're giving away the Pac-Man scratch-offs. Courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Tharu has been a returning champion to the program here. Let's update the whole thing. You know, my Baltimore Positive thing 4.5 years ago, you were here. All the candidates you mentioned, Jack Young was in that race. All of these things that happened. Give me the lane here for you right now, 2 weeks out on this. And carjackings, Fox News, Fox now owns the Sun. Like, the banner exists. It didn't exist before. I mean, there's a different – got a new baseball owner, for crying out loud, right? There is a different – atmosphere, and certainly COVID really screwed with everything 4 years ago, including the date of the election got moved 6 weeks.
And it gave Mary Miller a huge advantage because she had unlimited money. So the rest of us raised money for an April election. All of a sudden it was in June. Right. All of us were struggling to figure out where that money was going to come from. Mary just had to write herself another check. And so here we have a race that's got a couple of interesting structural challenges. One of them is there's some people that want to frame this like a Sheila Dixon versus Brandon Scott race. Those are the folks that have benefited from a system where they're the only two candidates. We have to break that. That is the first thing. I think we've done that. I think a lot of folks think of this as a three-person race. They know that we're the underdog, but they also know that we've raised $800,000. We're already double digits in the polls. That is a great place to start. And 6 weeks out, 7 weeks out, 2 years ago, Bates was at 13%. Mosby and I were at 35 for her and 32 for us.
Well, undecided is a place where a lot of people reside, and a lot of times the undecideds aren't the ones that pollsters seem to find. And look, all the polls are crooked. I mean, I'm on that. You know, I love Gonzalez. I'll have him on. The Goucher poll, and they're not a guiding light for me. Moeller and I would always get sideways on that because you had some crazy poll a couple years ago to Fox 45 who was supporting you, like said you were going to win. I'm like, it was early. And I'm like, all of these polls they remind me of Arbitron. And no offense, I've been at this a long time. That's why my documentary is called No One Listens, Everyone Hears. Because Arbitron, for 30 years, yeah. I've had zero listeners. So I don't believe in that Bates really, that's all he had. That's all they could find a couple years ago. And I think the same thing's true for you.
Look,
I think a lot of people will go in and pissed at Sheila, pissed at Brandon, and look for something else. And that's your lane,
look,
right?
That is our lane. And I do think that early polling, like it was for Bates, like it is for us, is talking to people that are picking up the phone.
It's saying he has a chance. It's not a waste of your vote.
That's right.
Correct.
Now we are in a situation where the airwaves are being inundated with everybody's commercials, and we have a chance to go neck and neck with Brandon and Sheila in that respect. Their 100% name recognition, that's an advantage, no question, but they're both known universally for all the wrong reasons. So the chance to come in and say, you've got an option, you don't have to vote for corruption or incompetence, you can expect more from your politicians in Baltimore.
So you say corruption and incompetence. These are, listen, I level haymakers on Greg Bader and Chad Steele every day of my life because they lack integrity. And I'll say that to their face if they didn't run from me. I'm Nasty Nestor. I'll stand up for anything I've said. Corruption and incompetence. Okay, I mean, Sheila was here 2 weeks ago. We're long past the gift card thing, but there's an acknowledgement that when I take her name out in certain segments, it's punchline, right? She understands that. Brandon has had his own pathway here through a plague, through city council president, through issues that I even have with Brandon, just getting in touch with him and different people, and the issues you mentioned about every carjacking is not Brandon's fault, and the murder numbers lower. And I took that up with Sheila. Murder was all we talked about 4 years ago. Now it's carjacking, right? Corruption and incompetence. Let's take that on as where is that directed from your perspective?
Yeah, look, take those numbers you were just mentioning a minute ago. When you got a mayor that says, I've done a good job, and you're supposed to believe that I have competently run this administration, when we see that trash can't get picked up, that graffiti can't get cleaned up, potholes can't get filled, 311 calls can't get answered, you've got to wonder, how is it that a mayor who claims he was able to drive down the biggest problem, murders, can't pick up the trash? The answer is, he's not actually doing anything with the murders. Murder numbers across the country are down. The only city in America that had higher murders in 2023 than 2022 was Washington, D.C. I don't know what's going on in D.C.
Why is that? Why are murders down?
They're down. The criminologists in the country would tell you it's because we have now a few years out of COVID. There was a major spike all across
people
the country.
People are happier. They're having sex. They're getting out. They're being happy. They have a little money. They're having, whatever. They're fixing their beefs in different ways. But there's more guns than there's ever been, right?
COVID was a distortion field in crime. It changed crime nationwide. We are now far enough away from it that unemployment numbers are down and murder numbers are down. That is universally the case. And everybody, by the way, I don't just blame Brandon for this. The governor, the state's attorney, the new sheriff, the U.S. attorney, the mayor, all of them want to take credit for this national trend in Baltimore. Those are the roosters taking credit for the dawn. They're not doing anything fundamentally different than they were doing in 2022 or 2021. They just happened to be in positions when a national trend line happened to benefit Baltimore as well. So the challenge with Brandon Scott representing that he's competently run government is we know it's not true because you can look outside and see the trash. And by the way, all those numbers that went the wrong direction, overdose death rates, highest per capita in America and skyrocketing here in Baltimore. Carjackings, auto thefts, youth violence, youth victims of violence. All those numbers are going the wrong way. You know what he says when asked about that? He says, oh, that's part of a national trend. You don't get to disclaim responsibility by saying, oh, this is part of a national problem, while taking credit for things here that happen to also be following a national
trend. So if you're mayor and you're elected, how does this get fixed from a management perspective? Because you've never managed it. That was one thing for me, even running. Like, unless you've managed a city, you've never managed a city. That's one thing Sheila at least has when she sits and says, I've done it, she has done it. It is a big job, and you've gone after it a couple different times, a couple different ways. Where does that begin with employment, happy employees, funding, and that tackling it is something that five mayors have tried, right?
Look, literally. Let's start by saying this about qualifications. If the only qualification to become mayor is that you were previously mayor, there's only a right. couple of people that are going to do it because there are people that got convicted left off is Catherine Pugh and Sheila Dixon are now the only people that are eligible.
Kurt Schmoke, but he might be. He's running a baseball team.
So that I don't think is the right litmus test. The question should be, have you managed big things, big problems? I served as Deputy Attorney General. I was president of the Harvard Law Review. I ran as CEO one of the largest community development financial institutions in the country. I was a litigation partner at DLA Piper, one of the largest law firms in the world. Those are the kinds of management experiences that get you ready to take on something. I don't know that anybody is prepared by their prior experience to take on a challenge like this, but who's more ready? And I am very proud of the fact that I've worked in the trenches addressing the biggest issue facing Baltimore, which is public safety, which is crime. As a federal prosecutor, city prosecutor, deputy attorney general, I have wrestled with issues related to affordable housing, impact real estate, because I ran a CDFI that made investments in those spaces. We evaluated businesses and ideas that were trying to get those things done. The problem for Brandon and Sheila is their only experience is in local government. And if your only experience is in a system that has failed this city for a generation, 25 years, we've lost 25%. Anytime you have Sheila or Brandon on the next time and they tell you about the great things they did when they were mayor, either, you know, back in the years or in the most recent years, ask them this. How come if things were so good on your watch that people kept leaving the city? They left dramatically when Sheila was mayor, and they left dramatically when Brandon was mayor. People vote with their feet, and if things aren't working in a city, they move out to the county. For Baltimore to be the only city in America that is smaller in 2024 than it was in 1924 and still losing a percent of its population every year, you can't claim that things are going well if everybody's leaving.
Well, the fact that things aren't going well, we keep coming back and saying, what do you... Where's day one for you?
Okay,
let's start with crime and public safety, because that's the thing I hear from white people in a county. I mean, I hear it every day, and it's snide, and it's nasty, and it's I ain't never going back there, and I hear it all the time. I mean, even today, I said to someone, I'm going to the city, be careful, crazy people down there, and I'm like, look, this is the voice of people that don't come to the city. Well, and I don't know what we're going to break through with that.
I am happy to defend myself and defend our city against anybody out in the county. But I have to acknowledge that in the county, crimes get solved and criminals get prosecuted. In Baltimore City, that does not happen with the same
regularity. You always say that to me, yeah.
You remember me saying about homicides. 90% of homicides in Baltimore County resulted in arrest. In Baltimore City, that number is 22%. That is a huge problem. But let's take a very specific problem, because your listeners are not going to think, oh, this guy's going to solve crime, unless you really hear the details. Let's take carjackings as an example.
Sure.
Number one.
Probably my biggest concern, being a dude driving the county,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So
what are we going to do about this? Carjackings have spiked. Number one, every carjacking is going to be referred to federal authorities. Not every robbery is a federal crime. Not every murder is a federal crime. But every carjacking is a federal crime, because every car is a vehicle in interstate commerce. It's subject to federal jurisdiction. Number two, we are going to do something that State Farm Insurance would love you to do, which is offer GPS tracking devices to everybody who drives a car in Baltimore City. That tracking device is not going to ever follow you until you get carjacked. And when it does, we're going to activate that that tracking device. It'll lower your insurance premiums in Baltimore City. It will also result in police being able to interdict the people that are doing this. Number three, we're going to launch something called the Jack Alert system. You know, there's an Amber Alert, there's a Silver Alert.
Sure.
Now what we do is, as soon as you get carjacked, that license plate, as soon as we know it, gets into the system. Every license plate reader, every red light camera, every speed camera is picking up that license plate as it's moving around the city. Now, that's not going to be able to result in an arrest that day, but a lot of this is being done by crews. And a former prosecutor can tell you, you've got to build a case against the entire crew if you want it to stop. We got to do that over and over again. Those are the kinds of concrete things that a person can pitch to your voters as proof that we can solve this problem. The U.S. Attorney for Maryland did something very similar with bank robberies. Every bank robbery is a federal crime. He said every bank robbery in Baltimore, it happens in Baltimore City, we're going to subject to federal jurisdiction, to federal prosecution. Now all of a sudden, carjackers know that if you're in Baltimore and you do a carjacking, you're not going to get chased by a local cop and a local detective. You're going to get pursued by an FBI agent, and federal prosecutors are going to come after you. That changes the mindset. Criminals are rational. Some of them are crazy, but the overwhelming majority of them respond to deterrence. That's why there are fewer murders.
Well, you don't get paid for the crime, you're going to do the crime.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
Tharu Viknaraj is here. He's running for mayor yet again, and you see him on TV and other places, and we try to get together here whenever we can to talk about making the city better. Your platform, just in a general sense, since the bridge collapsed, the awareness of the port, the awareness that that waterway isn't just for fishing and hanging out and like all that. It's inconceivable, right, the bridge going down. Like, it's not anything we could have talked about. I was in Florida the day it happened. It's only been a month. I mean, it feels like now it's been a long time. It's been a month. A month almost to the day. Like, not even a month. It'd be a month this week. How does that change things perception-wise for the business of Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, certainly the federal money, what it's done to put Brandon on TV and Wes on TV and give them some, certainly for Wes, it's going to be a level of measurement for him in all of that. What would be levels of measurement for you? Because the next mayor is probably going to be around opening that bridge or like thinking about opening that bridge. And the possibilities for this city, federal money, transportation money, there's... We got some hope here. We got a new baseball loan. We got the harbor. We got Peninsula. But there's a lot going on here that 4 years ago when we had masks on doing this, it wasn't happening here.
That bridge brought into sharp relief the best thing about Baltimore from 200 years ago, that we have the westernmost deep water port on the eastern seaboard, one of the largest economies in the world. It's a huge asset that no other city can compete with. Not Norfolk, not New Jersey.
Indianapolis can't even buy that.
Correct.
You can't get that on a Mayflower.
You can't. And by the way, the reason why we competed with New York City head-to-head for the first 100 years was the second westernmost deepwater port was Hudson Harbor. So we know that that's a huge asset.
They know you don't eat crab cakes
I
here.
Love it.
They know you're
I
veggies,
love it,
so you
love
got
it.
Some veggies.
Thank you, thank you.
No, don't eat while you talk.
So we know that that is a huge advantage. We also now have a huge challenge. The first thing the mayor's got to realize and the next mayor's got to do is not get into this divisive politics. We're going to need bipartisan support for a major stimulus contribution to rebuild that bridge. If now is the time to talk left and right, you are serving your own interests, not the interests of the city. So when I see the mayor going on and talking about Trumpers tweeting at him, he handled that perfectly fine, but why are you being distracted? Why are you making a national global tragedy where the compassion of the country and the world is directed at your city and making that story about tragedy a story about yourself?
Well, you're always going to get attacked, no matter what. In every case.
Every mayor, every candidate reads tweets that they find offensive. And you know what we do? We move on. We don't get distracted by it. And the reason I bring that up is because if Republicans and Democrats start fighting about Baltimore and about that bridge will not be built in the next 4 years. In Minneapolis, they built it in, what, less than 2 years because there was universal support and a unanimous bill from Congress to provide the funds. Now, that bridge was one-fifth as long as the Key
right.
Bridge.
Oh,
we
yeah.
have a much bigger challenge. We can't do that ourselves. We're going to need to get the kind of support that only somebody that can reach across the aisle can achieve.
Well, for you, crime, the business of the city, getting things, potholes, all of that, what am I missing? What am I leaving at? What are people, I mean, it's always crime,
yeah, yeah.
And schools, right? But what am I missing that people do come up to you and mention something that's not guns, carjacking, or
yeah,
schools?
Yeah. You know, the one thing that has been center stage this election that wasn't 4 years ago is what we're doing about Harbor Place. The reality is that this is the precious jewel of our city. Nobody wants to see the revival and renaissance of Harbor Place more than me. Maybe after Lexington Market.
Isn't this something?
I saw you when you walked in here.
You said, like, I haven't seen this since it moved
here. I haven't
here.
Seen Favies.
Well, you've done the show
yeah,
at Favies
yeah, yeah, yeah,
in
yeah,
several
yeah,
times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've seen the rest of the market many times, but this is my first time
but
seeing
this is just, look at this.
It's
this is
incredible.
As good as it gets,
I mean,
right?
I think we were all so worried that the charm of Fadley's would be left behind in the
That's
old
what
building.
She was worried about.
And they did it. They've done a magic trick, making it feel almost like the same space, the same intimacy.
Well, it's the same
tables.
Yeah. The signs. So I'm doing the show in front of this sign over here. There's the beautiful the neons up here, but it doesn't shine. You see it when you come in, but it's not good for the television.
Yeah.
So I just have the regular. That's the same sign for the other place.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
Same countertop over there. I mean, there's a lot of small touches they did to make sure this feels like home
Baltimore,
for them and
yeah.
for us. But the Harbor Place, The notion that we're going to replace those historic pavilions with luxury apartments for the ultra-rich, it's just ridiculous. And what we need to do is acknowledge that we're going to spend what we need to spend to rebuild that part of our city. It is the crown jewel of Baltimore. But we don't need a developer to draw up the plans. We need the city and the community to draw up the plans. And nobody, if you put it out for public dialogue, would say, you know what we need? We need more luxury condos. 414 Light Street has not reactivated the Inner Harbor.
I live next door to 414 Light Street.
And
I was there a day ago.
It's perfectly fine. I've got friends there, and they like their views.
Well, it cost me a lot of money because you could live there cheaper than you could buy my place.
Correct.
Period. And condo fees and all of that. So it sort of undercut the real estate market
to
some degree.
One of the things that I have pledged is that as much as I will support the renaissance and revival of Harbor Place, as much as I will invest public subsidies into that project, we will do it right. We will do it with a master plan directed and developed by and with the community. We will not allow the construction of luxury apartments on the promenade, at the water's edge. You want to do it across the street where 414 Light Street is? Great. By the way, the company that's doing this, MCB Realty, they own the PNC building. They own that parking lot across from the Renaissance Hotel. They have the rights to that too. They could build their luxury apartments there, but instead they want to put it right at the water's edge. That is shameful. It won't happen. I have pledged within the first 60 days to issue an executive order that forbids the construction of residential buildings in public parks. You can't do it in Druid Hill Park, you can't do it in Federal Hill Park, and you can't do it at the Inner Harbor Park.
Well, that's pretty succinct, and I would think that that's a touch point for you out on the streets, because I don't know that anybody is for building luxury condos at the harbor other than the people that own luxury. I mean, there's no one in the citizenry would say, that's how I think we should use
that's
it.
That's exactly right. And by the way, don't be fooled by, we put it to referendum.
Avoided me, and people that avoid me, I don't know if you don't know this or not. If you become mayor, you better not avoid me.
I will be right back here.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's not like,
you'll have to get use Alicia to get to me, but I'll be
people
here.
That are afraid to come on and talk to me, I know what you're about. Yeah. I mean, if you learn nothing from my 25th anniversary documentary, that I do not go for. And especially if you're running for public office, I can disagree with you all day and be agreeable.
Right. That's right.
I want to hear what you're going to do for the people.
And,
you know?
And when MCB Realty and the mayor hope that the public blesses the referendum, they're doing smoke and mirrors. They know that we vote for every referendum, right? You go in there, you barely read it, you say check, 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 check. You just assume it's a good idea because it's on the ballot. That is a huge mistake. People are going to fight about it. People are going to lobby around it. But you can get development without those luxury apartments. You know how much the developer is pitching in towards the public infrastructure improvements? Zero. He is going to build the luxury apartments. We have to foot the bill for all of the public infrastructure improvements. But if we do that, then we have to lift the restrictions for him to do it.
Well, as a guy that lived out the front door of that for 19 years, invested the best part of my life in living there, the traffic patterns, everything that's going to happen. Certainly, if the Orioles are going to be the Orioles again and it's going to look like 35,000 people coming downtown, the traffic patterns will change. I feel like, and I always feel this way, but I feel like the city is trending in a better direction from a mind frame of getting people downtown. The CFG Bank Arena's come online since the last time you and I talked. I've been to the place 10 times for different concerts since the last time I saw you. So I do sense that things are happening to bring people downtown. Now, what they get when the experience they have when they're here will dictate whether they come back or not.
And Nestor, this is important to say, and it's one of those dark secrets we don't talk about enough. The truth is that the affluent neighborhoods of Baltimore, the White L,
the butterfly, right?
Are getting wealthier. They're getting more dense. The population is going up. It is the black butterfly that is hemorrhaging people to the counties. And so when I hear people say, things are getting better in Guilford, getting better in downtown in Canton, that there's so many new pickleball courts, I don't think that's a measure of a successful city. It's a measure of a successful sub-community. What I am worried about is that the same prosperity that we see here, the exact opposite is happening in West Baltimore and East Baltimore, and we're losing people. And we're not losing rich people in Guilford, we're losing intergenerational families in Edmondson Village, in Cherry Hill, in East Baltimore. That is a huge problem.
I'm standing here in the middle of brand new Lexington Market.
Yeah.
Came online since the last time you and I got there.
Yep.
So this is all things, we had progress during the plague around here. So we are capable of this.
Absolutely.
We are capable.
Yep. And I want to see the same thing. Look, The mayor gave a $5 million injection to Lexington Market. It's beautiful. I love it. The problem is that not a dollar went to Holland's Market or Northeast Market. And the reason for that is, and I'm sitting here enjoying Lexington Market as I say this, $5 million came to Lexington Market because the mayor had developers with Seaball Development seed his first campaign, and this was a way to pay him back. That's not the way government should run. That's not where I want taxpayer dollars to go. I want it to go to the places where they're most needed, not the places that best repay political favors and donations.
Tell people how they can help you. Tharuvik Raja here. We're trying to get all the mayoral candidates out. We had Sheila Dixon on 2 weeks ago. Have an invitation out to Bob Wallace as well as Mayor Scott to stop by before the election. And I say before the election, the election's literally now, right?
When's this going to be posted?
It's going to be all next week. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Tharuvformayor.com, Tharuvformayor.com. $25 donation becomes $250. $75 donation becomes $550. This is the first publicly financed campaign in Baltimore history. We've already proven it can work. We're so proud to have been the first campaign in the state that qualified for city funding, for public funding. So proud of that at this level. We got to do what's right for the city of Baltimore. We need change. We shouldn't have to choose between corruption and incompetence. And this election, you don't have to. Vote through, vote change.
I'm going to let you get to after these vegetables here. Very few people come to Fadley's and turn down the crab cake. It's a vegetarian.
Breaks my heart.
It,
breaks my heart.
Play tennis lately, or how you been?
Yeah, we should play soon.
Not my back, man. I at some point, I'm going to get it cut on and fixed, and I'll be happy, and I'll be old, and back to playing tennis. I mean, I was out the other day and, you know, had the opportunity to – I was at the Duckpin Bowling Lanes up at Green Mount Bowl, and they wanted me to roll, and I thought – nah, not back there yet. You know, it's the L3, L4. Thank you, Planet Fitness. Thank you, Dr. Steve, for making me feel a little bit better. But no tennis for me right now. I'm watching.
Well, I'm ready when you are. I'm ready when you are.
I'm ready. French Open, Wimbledon. Good to see you, Tharu.
Good to see you, my friend.
Tharu Vignaraja. You can now find him. The Prince of Woodlawn is what I like to say here. How's your sister doing?
She's
still
great.
Doing good things
killing
for people
it. Oh,
here?
My God. She's incredible.
You get her back on, man.
Yeah, you should.
She's still working? Lucha?
Yeah, right down the street.
All
right,
make sure we're
good. They've rebranded. They're now the Global Refuge is their official
Global
name.
Refuge,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, they've now got an international.
Well, that means I need to have a crab cake with her over
there
here.
There you go.
We have threatened to have both of you on. If you're mayor-elect, we'll do that.
Sold.
All right. You could be mayor-elect in 3 weeks, right?
That's the plan.
I better be nicer to you.
That is the plan.
Tharu Vignaraja is here. Tharu for mayor. Go find him out on the interwebs. We are at Fadley's. Come find us at the new Lexington Market. We're going to be here every Friday that the Orioles are home. Hanging out. Luke was here today. Poor Luke. Up all night on the draft. Gets a Jackson Holliday's out. He's going to the ballpark. He's back out at the draft. We don't have an offensive lineman yet. But we do have scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. These are Pac-Man scratch-offs. You're 18 or older. You can do that. Tharu can have that. Did you play Pac-Man as a kid? Or you miss
sure.
Pac-Man?
Yeah,
Donkey
yeah, yeah.
Kong? You're the right age for that.
I was just a minute after. I was a big Nintendo guy. We were talking Metroid,
right, okay.
Legend of Zelda.
You were a nerd.
Tetris.
All right, Tetris. Wow, you're going way back now. Pac-Man scratch-offs. We got those to give away from the Maryland Lottery. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going to pick back up 2 weeks from now. Got a lot of things going on, but our 25th anniversary documentary that Tharu hasn't seen yet is out as of last night. 40 years of media. I don't even know what to say about it. It was the most ambitious thing I've done. I felt like Thursday night I had had a baby. I told Luke that. I said, it was just such a – I've written books, and it didn't feel as cathartic. It's just like seeing the thing on YouTube and saying, it's done. Now I can get back to normal things, back to pennant race, and back to the draft this weekend.
Can't wait.
To Tharu, our folks down here at Fadley's, and Luke Jones. Come down and get a crab cake and enjoy yourself. I didn't even have a crab cake on the crab cake tour today. I had shrimp salad. But that's all right. Tharu didn't have any meat, so he left some more for me. I'm going to take a crab cake home. Back for more.